Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For 40 years, Burger King had an ad campaign that revolved around the slogan, "Have it your way." The whole idea was that you could go to Burger King and you could customize their food however you wanted it. Personally, change the items in whatever way. That way you could have exactly what you liked. Hold the pickles. Hold the lettuce. Special orders. Don't upset us. You guys know it, right? It's good stuff. And as consumers, we like to live in this capitalistic society. We really like this idea that we can have it our way. That we can choose how we want things to go. It gives us a sense of power. And it gives us a sense of control. But the truth is that it doesn't just stop at Burger King. Whether we know it or not, we make all sorts of choices in life that customize our very days and our very lives. Just today, think about your morning routine. I'll trace you through mine. I chose to wake up immediately when my alarm went off. I could have hit the snooze button, but I chose not to. Then I chose to go to the bathroom and I chose to brush my teeth, which I hope all of you did. And then I chose to leave my bedroom and I chose to eat eggs instead of cereal. I chose to drink coffee. I chose what to wear. I chose to walk to the church today instead of driving because it's only about 200 feet to my house. But the thing is I have the opportunity to choose. I can choose all of these things, and this is literally just the tip of the iceberg. I would imagine during your morning routine, you made some choices too. Most of the time, we have day-to-day choices that go on without our even thinking about it. They just happen. How we speak, how we act, what we do in our lives. But in the midst of making these day-to-day choices, these routine choices, sometimes bigger choices pop up. Like what college to attend, what career path to choose, when and where to buy a house, how to raise your kids, when to retire, and literally everything that is in between. We have personal choices, we have financial choices, we have medical choices, we have all kinds of different choices to make. And because we have all these choices, like I said, we like to have this power, we like to have this control, but what we don't like to consider is all of those choices that we make that are outside of our control. How many of you chose to be born? That before you had existence, you went to your parents and said, "Hey, you know, it'd be really great if you could, you know, make me, if you could really just give me existence." It doesn't make any sense. That's absurd. Our gifts, our lives are a gift to us from our parents. That's not a choice that we get to make. It's simply given to us. Or think about, you know, illnesses. How many of you got the flu this past year? Nobody chooses to get the flu. It's ridiculous. In fact, if we could choose to do it, we would never make that choice. Really, we just like to treat the symptoms and hope that our body sort of figures things out on its own. But there's no choice to be made. And those who value life, they don't choose when their last day will be. It's completely out of their control. Well, in our epistle text for today, the Lord describes another choice. And it's another choice that is completely out of your control, but is completely within His. He makes a choice. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him." While we have many choices in our life, there is a big misunderstanding across Christianity about how to be saved. Most Christians will confess that, yes, Jesus, He was crucified, He died, He was risen, and that's all great, but I still have to reach out and grab hold of this promise. But it's not in the text. They think that they have to say some sort of prayer or make some sort of promise to God in order to become a Christian. But it's just not there. That's not how Christianity works. It's not a choice that you get to make. It's a choice that God makes for you. Literally, He chooses to have you as His own. You don't have to reach out and grab your faith. God literally forces it upon you as a gift. But instead, he chooses you. And God chooses you before the foundation of the world. That means even from the very beginning. Jesus wasn't plan B. It's not like God went and he made Adam and Eve and he goes, okay, well, if they eat the fruit, I'm going to send Jesus. It was when they eat the fruit. I already have my son ready to be born in time to save them from their sins. That's what it means that God loves us and chooses us before the world even began. Before Genesis 1:1, God knew each and every one of you, and he knew that he had to have you. Why would God choose that? Why would God choose to go through the pain of having his people sin against him? In fact, think about your own life. No matter who you are, there are choices you have made in your past that are less than God-pleasing. Choices that maybe you've made under peer pressure in high school, or choices maybe that you made with your newfound freedom in college, or as you embarked upon your own away from your parents. Choices maybe that you made with your spouse or your kids or your job. Maybe financial choices. Or maybe it was even some sort of foolish choice you just made this past weekend. Our lives are filled with making the wrong choices. And many of them, if we had to confess them in front of God, we would bow our heads in shame. Because humanity's default choice is to do what is the most fun. Humanity's default choice is to do what is self-serving. When given the choice, we want to have it our way, to have it a selfish way, always considering me, myself, and I before I consider anybody else. Because our sinful nature, it cares nothing for our neighbor. It cares nothing for God. It's too busy considering what I want and what I need. It's inwardly focused. And it's this selfishness and sin that leads us to false belief. It leads us to shame. And ultimately, it leads us to despair. I'm certain the same applies to you as well, because try as you might, I'm certain many of you know what your sins are. You know what your crux is. But even as you try to leave your sin behind, you keep doing the things you don't want to do. You keep thinking and speaking and sinning over and over again, the same sins you've been struggling with for your entire life. It's a vicious cycle, and no matter what amount of choices, you just can't stop. Why would God choose you? Why would he want a selfish sinner? It's because he loves you. In spite of your sin, he loves you enough to forgive you, to send his son Jesus, to take it away from you, to die in your stead, to shed his blood. He loves you because he doesn't have the sin that you have. See, God's not inwardly focused on himself. He's outwardly focused on you. Everything he does is to serve you. This is why at the creation, he created the world in 6 days. Why? For humanity. So that we would have a beautiful place to live. And when we destroyed the whole thing with our sin, what does he do? But he's in the business of restoring it back to the perfection it once had, which will ultimately have its culmination when Jesus comes again. But God is in the business of serving you. In fact, that's why we come here. We call it the divine service. Why? Because every single part of the liturgy isn't designed to be fun. That would be inwardly focused. It's designed to deliver to you the gifts of God, deliver you his promises. You see, we can't defeat our selfishness and our sin on our own. So God chooses to do it for you. He chooses to send Jesus. And he chooses to have him born in a humble stable in Bethlehem. And then Jesus is tempted in every way that we are, and yet he chooses to deny Satan and to deny the temptation and live a perfect life. And then he chooses to go willingly to a cross that even after he was nailed to it, he could have chose to come down. He's God. He has that power. But he chose to stay there. He chose to shed his blood. He chose to breathe his last. and die in your place. Jesus chooses to die so that you can live, so that you can be a chosen one of the Lord. And then 3 days later, he chooses to come back to life so that he can declare to you that you are one of these chosen ones, that you will live alongside him forever. And that's not the end. Obviously, all of this stuff happened in the past, right? This was all 2,000 years ago. God still has to implement the plan. We're living in 2018. But in each and every one of your lives, God knew how he had to move the people in your life. He knew who he would come to have into your midst and preach the word into your ears. He knew whose hand would pour the water over your head in baptism. God ordained it all because he had to have you. And we even saw it today with little Nora. She has been chosen by God. Chosen before the foundation of the world to receive Christ's promise that heaven is hers, that all of her sins are wiped away. She's chosen to be in heaven for all time with each and every one of you. And the thing is God still chooses us. He still chooses to visit us with his word. He still chooses to feed us with his supper. He chooses to remind us of his promises over and over again, that way we never fall away from them. We're daily chosen because God is our refuge and strength. And so whether you're in a good time or a bad time, as you trust in this crucified and risen Jesus Christ, you know that God has chosen you. And he's chosen you for a purpose. See, the Spirit of God now dwells within you because God has chosen you, because you believe these words. But these words aren't just a gift that we should keep to ourselves. God empowers us with his Spirit. That way now, all those bad decisions that we chose to do in our past, we can start to choose to leave them behind by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do what is God-pleasing. We can do that which serves our neighbor and which serves God above. We don't have to be inwardly focused on ourselves any longer. But we can outpour the love that God has poured into us, and we can pour it out to all of those around us. My friends, today I'll encourage you. Instead of having it your way, have it God's way. For the Father who created you, the Son who redeemed you, and the Holy Spirit who has granted you his holiness have made their choice, and that's you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.